Hey everyone, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to onboard new employees and new team members to your startup.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
And here's why I want to talk about this with you, Heaton. So with Close.io, for those of you who don't know, we are hiring. Yes.
I like
we
it. Yes.
Hiring.
Steli's company, Close.io, is hiring. Okay, what kind of roles? Let's do that real quick.
So,
what kind of roles?
So we just hired pretty much on every role, but what we're right now focused on most is front-end developers, UI, UX designers, and then full-stack developers. So product team, right? Product is kind of the probably for the next 3 to 6 months where we're focusing on the hiring side of things. But if you're an amazing salesperson, marketing person, or anything else, reach out and let's start the relationship now. So by the time we want to hire and you're looking for the next deal, we might be a perfect match. So
boom.
Having said All right. that, we are hiring for everybody out there. We're not just hiring, we have hired, right? And the company, although we love small teams and we will forever stay, at least by today's approach and philosophy, a relatively small team for our space and for the size of our business. We have grown percentage-wise the team quite a bit. We started the year with 9-10 people, and now we're at 18-19, something along those lines. So we haven't quite doubled, but we're close to having doubled the team. And we really went from a phase where everybody knew everything to nobody knows nothing, right? Or everybody knows nothing. Because most of the people that were in that first kind of 9-10 people, most of these people were there from day one at Close.io. They've been there from the inception of the product to like the pivot in the company to releasing it to profitability to everything. They've gone through everything. So we've only operated as a team most of the time from the assumption that everybody has perfect context. And now that has changed, obviously, and there's some challenges, there's some excitement around this, and some cool stuff going on. But one thing that we've been going through, and I've kind of been seeing us make mistakes, learn, adjust, change, pivot, and it's kind of very much top of mind, is onboarding. Is not just, it's like we're thinking about this like retention, right? It's not just acquiring customers important, but retaining them is much more important than even acquiring them, right? Keeping a customer, keeping them successful and happy is much more important than just, you know, acquiring a new one. And the same thing holds true in recruiting. Like hiring people is great, but if you can't retain them and if you can't make them really successful, then what's the point of hiring in the first place? It's not that it's pointless, it's actually really destructive. So we've been worrying, thinking, and talking and acting a lot around making sure that we onboard new team members really successfully. And I think that we have, you know, at first we've overdid it and now I'm trying to course correct that. And I'm just dying to hear your thoughts on this. So before I jump into sharing all our secrets and kind of our challenges and the things we've done and we haven't done, just on a very kind of general note, when you think about hiring new people for any of your teams or companies, and you think about onboarding them, do you have any kind of like game plan, template, philosophy of like, this is the way I like to onboard new employees to a startup? Do this, don't do too much of that. What's your general thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm at the current moment, I'm an extremist. It would be the best way to describe my approach on onboarding team members. So have I used the swimming pool analogy? Have you heard that?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I've been using this one for a bit. I guess we haven't talked about it. So for me, it's like you throw people in the deep end in the beginning. So this is my current method. And what it is I want to know in a week what this person's capabilities are. And I, meaning the whole team too. Like we got to know what their capabilities are, where they're going to sit. So I liaison them on to the team in 1 week. Or I find someone on the team to do that. And it's like getting thrown in the deep end. Do we throw you in and we see how you swim. If you can't swim, we give you floaties, move you over to like the shallow end or something. Or, you know, if you got to get out of the pool, we'll get you out of the pool. We try to figure it out really quickly where you fit in. Cause it's, you know, it's a big pool and then we like people that can sit in the deep end. Cause most of it's the deep end. And the deep end's basically where, like, you know, they can play with a lot of things. They're, you know, they can get into a lot of things if they want to, but they do have a role and a job and accountability and all that stuff as well. But that week, we can figure out exactly what that looks like. Now, that's when there's not as much of a management structure, if that makes sense. Once there's like a management structure, I think your manager should be doing that, but I'd still push for, can we know in a week how awesome this person's going to be in the company? Like, why does it take any longer? And what would we need to do? Now, I extended this all the way to, like, I have a new business partner I'm working with. And what we did is we actually spent a lot of time together in a very short period of time doing the kind of work we think we're going to be doing every day. And it was very interesting to watch how effective that's been at understanding things about each other and the relationship and how we work together much faster. So I extend that to a lot of things, because at the end of the day, like, I don't want to waste any time. So I might be really highly optimized around that, but all of the processes I would create in a company around scaling onboarding would be starting with that assumption that we can figure this out really quickly.
So I love that. But let's talk about that practically, right? So
sure,
there are certain things that I think or positions where I feel like this radical approach lends itself easier than others for, right? So, and also, this probably presupposes that you're hiring experienced people, people that have done this job in this type of environment, in this type of space with this type of customer before. So when they join, they don't need that much. They already kind of get it.
Not necessarily. I mean, I've done this for a few different roles. Yeah, I don't think it requires anything. I think it's just an attitude of, like, how fast can we do this? And so pick a role that's challenging. Let's talk about it. I'm only holding that because I haven't thought about this too much. I just know what's been working for the last about 5 or 6 hires, and also my own partnership I'm trying to develop, and it's been going pretty well of just jumping right in.
So I love the premise, and I do think that in general, it's a philosophy that I share. But I do want to stress test this, right? So
okay.
let's say I'll give you a simple example. Let's say you take an engineering team, right, and you hire your first DevOps person, right? So somebody is going to be responsible for servers and latency and security and infrastructure, more so than the actual application or anything that's user or customer facing. And let's say that that team has accumulated a ton of technical debt on the way that they set up the service and the infrastructure and all that stuff. So you now hire the first person. You basically tell them, congratulations, here's a huge pile of shit nobody ever thought too deeply about, and you now going to have the job to kind of structure, organize, understand, and really build the infrastructure for the long term and for scalability. Welcome to the team. That's not typically a job where within 5 weeks, you can always try to figure out a project that you can drop them into deep water, and there's always some kind of a hack or some kind of a tiny little thing that might not be all encompassing, but a good way to kind of test the waters and see how good do they swim, how comfortable are they with, figuring things out on their own. But it's questionable if that person can really, if we can really answer the question definitively within 5 days with a person like this in a situation like this, oh yes, this person is going to be our DevOps person and they're going to shine and be amazing at this, or no, this person won't work out.
So in this case, I would probably go for a different route where, like, before they joined, there would have been more diligence that was done around their capabilities. And then the week would be designed to jump them right in so they could get started, and you would already have more assurances before they came in. For example, we've shown people the whole infrastructure before and said, hey, we had to do this problem. I think a lot of SaaS people need to do this problem at some point, especially with AWS and all that, and all of a sudden you need an ops person. It's awesome. Oh my God. Anyways, and there's a very special type of person that's an ops person usually. We won't get into that. So basically, you would have done your homework. We show them the infrastructure. We'll do things. If we need to get them to sign some paper so they don't talk about it, great. And we'll show them the stuff and really have a really good idea of how they think about things and how fast they can move. Usually, when it's a role like that, that's a new role coming into the company, there are a lot of even people things. So we have a very deliberate process of interviewing, you know, where everyone says yes type of thing, especially on the engineering team. We have had a remote engineering team and stuff, and we created some of these things that were very effective. So I would just say that, like, you would have done more homework. And then the week is about just proving out whether that homework was correct. Like, you know, whether what your results were back on that, or your grades or whatever, was correct on this person and their abilities. And within a week, you would know, because you've already had the commitment. You've already made the call on them joining. And engineering teams tend to, it tends to work better when there's a lot more consensus.
So that makes sense. Let's shift the topic quite or just a little bit in terms of, you know, onboarding. Not just what kind of project do they take and how do they get started to really, like, deep end, small end, or short end, all that. But with engineering, one of the beautiful things, or one of the benefits that engineering has, is a lot of times there's already quite a bit of documentation in place, right? How does the code base work? There's comments, there's documentation, there's GitHub, there's all these things that are written down for people to figure out how things work. But in most startups, in any other team, there won't be too much documentation. At least in the early days, it doesn't seem like marketing really documents everything they do and why they do it, and sales doesn't do that either, and many other teams don't. So I'm wondering, how much do you document so that new people can just have a place of truth to go research and read and figure things out on their own? How much process and guidelines do you have? Even for simple things, like, it's the stupid thing sometimes that can be a roadblock where people are wondering, right, oh shit, I want to take a vacation 4 months from now. Who do I ask and how do I deal with this? Or, oh shoot, what about whatever it is? It's stupid things. It's little things that might occupy people's minds in the early days when they're unsure about where to go, where to find the answers to, what's appropriate or not appropriate, kind of trying to grok the culture and all that. So I'm wondering, beyond the finding something to throw people into and really figure out in a week, in a very short period of time, how amazing they can be in the company. Let's say you do that and the answer is they can be really amazing. What do you do beyond that in the early first few weeks to make sure that you ramp them up as quickly as possible and you help them be as successful as possible? How much documentation, guidelines, how many talks? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, everything that I've seen that's successful usually has to do with something very tactical, which is someone just starts creating whatever's necessary. You MVP it. So, you know, one approach I've taken that's been cool is the first person coming in when we knew the problem existed, they had to start solving the problem. Doesn't matter what role it is. Usually you're a very small team. You can dictate some things like this and it's okay if it takes up a little bit of someone's time. But, like, this is a problem. Someone comes in and the next person that comes in has to start solving it, you know, as part of their job. It's like, hey, we don't have any onboarding here. Come on in, you know, like, figure it out, write it up so that the next person's better off. And then you just keep leaping. So some cultures that works really well when there's a culture of writing already, like in the inside, once you're inside. Another thing I've seen is, like, usually it's like administrative person, right? Whoever, some kind of admin that just starts the onboarding process. It's usually just to get it done because there's just a bunch of small stuff like, where's the bathroom? You know, yeah. Do I need a key? You know, what's the code? What are the, you know, do we do lunch here or not? You know, if so, what are the rules, right? Can I have a key? How do I get in? You know? Yeah. What's the time? What time should I show up? And startups have all those things. And that's if you have an office. And if you don't have an office, it's even worse, right, Stanley?
Yeah. It is even worse. People, you know, as you said, these are legitimate questions.
Go ahead.
The key?
The key, though, is, like, and this is just stupid, but now we have Slack. So an onboarding room in Slack, if you're a remote team, is like, that's it. Like, get the onboarding room, have a sticky in there, put the sticky to some document somewhere. This is the best solution these days. And then every time someone gets hired, throw them in the onboarding room, right? And they can ask anything they want there. You could even rotate, as your team scales, people who are checking in on that, you know, all the time, you know, if need be. So there's systems like that.
Yeah, I love that. Actually, I haven't thought about that. I can't believe we haven't. But we don't have an onboarding chat room, and it makes total sense. So we'll definitely steal that. I think one thing that we've learned is, so we had kind of an ops person on the team that has a very caring personality and was kind of also working a lot in recruiting, but then also was kind of tasked or took the charge to make sure that a lot of these questions are answered to people and some basic documentation and a kind of a welcome guideline PDF is being created and sent to people before they join the team. And that people kind of understand when are the team meetings and how and why, and they have calendar invites to them, and all kind of a lot of these organizational things are figured out. And that has been great because people feel really welcome, and they, you know, they feel taken care of, and all these kind of mundane questions might be answered really easily and fast, which is nice, and so they can focus on what really matters. But I feel like we as a team, maybe over the last few weeks, we kind of almost overdid it in trying to really make the onboarding experience amazing versus really it's one thing to be to ask the question, how can I make sure that this person feels as welcome as possible and there's zero questions that they have that we haven't thought about and answered before? That's one way of approaching it. The other way of approaching it is to say, yeah, we want people to be welcome, but how do we make them productive and successful as quickly as possible? How do we empower them to take charge and to really, like, even the first week or the second week should be something that is valuable or significant to the business? So we don't treat them like these little children that it's going to take 6 months before this person can do something useful to the business. But how can we make it so that in their first week, in the second week, they feel like, wow, I've contributed. Wow, I'm making a difference. I'm really having an impact here. Because that's ultimately, I think, what everybody's seeking for when they join a team.
So yeah, there's a tweak I like to make. This works for a lot of hires. Sales might be a little different in a few areas, but like I learned a lot this week. Like that's been a goal we've had before. I really like the, you know, I shipped something, I did something for the company, which I really like in a week. I really like the I learned a lot though. And it depends on even values in your culture. Mm. Right? You might have a different tweak, right? If your culture is not necessarily learning oriented, but doing oriented, for example.
Yeah. But I still love the, you know, I learned a lot. I learned a lot. I worked on something that was great. One thing that I ask oftentimes is, you know, do you feel more or less excited about being part of this company, you know, at the end of the week versus at the beginning of the week, right? Which is the same thing on recruiting calls, is like at the end of our call, both of us should be more excited about each other than we were at the beginning of the call, right? It's typically a good indicator versus a bad indicator being like, you know, I was really pumped to start there, but by Friday I was like, I still like it, but now I have all these hesitations and there's all these question marks. Is this really the right? Did I make the right decision? That's not good, right? That's a really huge, massive red flag. So I do like to check in and go, you know, a week after, are we more pumped? Are we less pumped? Are we more confused or concerned? Are we less? Because that also kind of in a way shows progress. All right. So, you know, beyond that, I feel like part of startup onboarding is, and you can overdo everything, right? So I don't subscribe to the idea that onboarding needs to be like, you know, people show up at the office for their first day and then nobody knows that we hired them, and the person that hired them isn't there and there's no place for them to work, right? The kind of that example that exists often, like crazy, especially startups that grow like insanely in terms of numbers, where there's just chaos and there's nobody that knows who you are and what you should be doing and all that. There's a famous book that I really love, The PayPal Wars, that kind of describes that as the first day of this guy being hired by Peter Thiel, showing up. Nobody fucking knows who he is. Peter Thiel is not around. They don't have any desk or work for him. And he kind of has to, he finds a ping pong table and he kind of has to go out there and find work for themselves. So on the one hand, that's kind of a horrible experience on day one. But on the flip side, it's beautiful to see that this person found a place to work and found some work, which kind of indicates that, or which indicated already that he would be successful in the company, right? He fits right into the chaos of a startup versus somebody who would have just sit around and felt sorry for themselves or being really unhappy or whatever. And that's an extreme example, but there's this balance I find with startups where you're not a massive corporation, so you can't have like a first week onboarding is orientation week, where you basically just sit there and listen to people and read through brochures and you get your hat with the logo of the company and like all that bullshit. You tour the offices. Like that's obviously not the right model for a startup. But obviously you can also give people a really horrible experience where they feel really treated badly, or they feel like disrespected, or they're confused, or whatever. So there's, I find that a startup needs to be somewhere in the middle and find kind of a good balance between You can't babysit people. You can't have too much process. You can't have too much onboarding because you just don't have the time, and you need a different type of person that operates differently and can thrive in an empowering but also chaotic environment. But you don't want to take that we are a startup as an excuse to be thoughtless, right? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I can only agree with you, right? we're really aligned on like how people need to be onboarded, and it's different in a startup than a corporate environment where there's a lot more luxury, and you know, wasting a half year's salary on a team member isn't a problem.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're getting to the point where we can wrap this episode up. Before we do the tips, one thing that I'd like to ask the listeners to do is, if you have a particularly interesting, either good or bad onboarding experience, either you've made it yourself or you did it with somebody else or you heard it, something that was really cool or really empowering or really successful, or something that was just horrible or painful, tweet it at us, at Stelly on Twitter or at HN Shah on Twitter. Let us know what the story is, or send us an email and share that story. I'm just curious to hear, what are all the wanky, crazy, cool, innovative, new, horrible things that people do? Like, I'm just interested in everything regarding onboarding right now. That's kind of something that is top of mind. So I'd love to have the audience share some of their experiences with us.
Love it.
All right. So want to wrap the episode up with a tip?
Yeah, sure. You should treat your team onboarding like you treat your customer onboarding. That's what I got. Ooh. I don't think we really said that, so I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, we haven't. I love that. That fits right into what I was saying in the beginning, which is like employee retention is more important than employee acquisition, right? So retention is really, really important.
You got it.
All right. I think there's nothing much more to say than that. We will hear you guys very, very soon.
Bye.
That's it from us.